Hallelujah. Yes, lift your hands and surrender all. And fathers, we come to you this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. We admit and we confess that we are nothing without you. We thank you for the price of Jesus. We thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We thank you that we are more than conquerors. We thank you that we have dominion over thoughts and feelings and desires. We thank you that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. And that you've granted us power, dominion, authority, and an inheritance. We thank you for the seal of the Holy Spirit and for the shed blood of Christ. And we thank you for forgiveness of sin and benefits of eternity. We ask for your forgiveness of every area we've offended you, Master. We repent for every vow that we said and made and didn't do or accomplish. We repent for the words of our mouth, for our thoughts. We repent for the things that we touched and agreed with that weren't of you. We repent for the things we said that was of you and wasn't. And we ask, Lord, to sever us from our past, loose us from the bonds of deception, and sever us from emotional attachments of people, places, and things, that we may be free of ourself and filled with you. Filled with you. Now allow us to see what Christ wants us to see, to hear what Christ wants us to hear, to receive what Christ wants us to receive, and that the image, likeness, and character of Christ will be manifested in us and through us in the unity of the Spirit, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah! This is the year God has made. And we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, thank you. You know, there's one thing that he always does. He brings you through. No matter what's happening in your life, he brings you through. Now, whatever has happened in your life, let it be an opportunity to grow. Because circumstances, trials, those are all opportunities. Don't let it beat you down. Step on it and let it carry you. Amen? Let it carry you. Praise God. And we do have a word today for 2011. But before we get into everything, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Glory to God. Thank you, Master. You know, we have a lot of testimonies of sowing and reaping. It's just phenomenal. In verse 1, is everybody there? Let's read this together. And Paul writes to Timothy, he says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. In other words, declare truth. Now, did Timothy have a Bible? No. See, so many times we think he must have been preaching out of the Bible. The Lord said, preach the word. No, he didn't have a Bible. He preached the gospel, which was the testimony of the coming of Jesus Christ, the death of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is the gospel of Christ. He said, preach the word. Be ready in season and out. Now, understand that season is God's appointed times. Spiritually, God's appointed times. Not that we don't have seasons, and we'll talk about that in a second. But there are specific seasons that's God's appointed time for you, and specifically for you. So he said, preach, be ready in season and out. In other words, whatever the storm is, whatever the weather is, don't let it move you. You be ready no matter what your environmental surroundings are. You be ready. He said, what? Convince. Hello? Convince. Convince. I said convince. Convince. Well, you know what? Sometimes words aren't convincing, but actions are. Words are not convincing. You can make all kinds of proclamations you want. You can make 100,000 promises, but your action is whether it's going to nullify, disqualify, or promote. In other words, convince. He says, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. Now, I want to go somewhere with this before we go any further. In verse 4, it says, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. These are called, let me share something before we go further. You know, there is a hope. And what he's talking about is people have gotten called up and caught in to false hopes. And false hopes, always, there's always a false hope will establish an anxious spirit. And a false hope is the area, and we were talking about this yesterday morning, and it really just hit me again just now. So anyways, this false hope would cause an individual to stray. False hope, first of all, hope is future faith. And faith is not blind, it's sight. Faith says, I can see spiritually. Jesus never said, I walk by faith. He said, whatever I see my Father do, I do. He didn't have to say he was walking by faith. He was walking by faith because he saw it and did it. He heard it and did it. Has everybody got it? That's why faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? It says the word of God. But when Jesus was preaching this, there was no written Bible. So the word of God was what you were spoken to by the Spirit of the living God. It's not what you read. Hello? So in this, people begin to get a false hope. And I had this vision of this beautiful, clear river. And then it split. And there were those who were going on, staying on the right path of faith and hope, because hope is future hope, is because they saw spiritually of what's coming. And the other one was a false hope because of a flawed belief system that caused them to have a different perception. It is called a flawed perception. And they could not discern correctly, so they went with the false hope, and that false hope produced an anxious spirit. And let me tell you, the enemy loves to get in the individual and give them a false hope. And that false hope means you've accepted a lie from the devil and promoting a hope that is unreachable or something that is not of God, but is of a desire of self or the soulish arena or the flesh. Is everybody with me? And that's what was happening with these individuals. They were getting a false hope, and it led them astray, because that false hope. Now, the only way for a false hope to be accomplished and fulfilled is if you do it yourself. And then you have to worry, because fear comes, because now you've always got to maintain it and try and keep it. See, when it's God, there's no strings attached. And when it's God, if it is time for it to depart, you have no fear of it going, because you know you're going into a new season. Yeah. Hello? It's a new season. And it says again that in verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. In other words, they will go along, and the devil will set up teachers to fulfill false hopes. And they will turn their ears away from the truth, which is the true hope, which is true faith. And be turned aside to what? Fables, false hopes. But he said to him, you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. Wow. He said, be ready in season and out. Now, these seasons are cycles also of time. They repeat themselves, don't they? Each one carries an altered character from each other. In other words, we have winter, spring, summer, fall. There's like a different atmosphere, temperatures, weather. There's different festivals. There's different agricultural changes. There's foliage changes. And there's even food changes. Amen? But these things repeat themselves, don't they? But regardless of the cycle changes that repeat themselves, every season is new. It's new. Has everybody got it? There are certain things that repeat itself in the season, but every single season is still brand new when it comes. Because the old one's gone, and there comes a brand new one. So every season that comes is not only brand new, and you have an opportunity in that season to do something that God is asking you to do and fulfill it with the new. It brings something different every time it comes, but it's new for you. Because of a new memory of something you've experienced between seasons, something is different for you. There are physical seasons in the natural eye, and there are spiritual seasons by the spiritual eye. Has everybody got it? But no matter what storm or what weather comes, we must be ready in every area. Is everybody with me? We must be what? Ready. So every season is an opportunity for me and you again. Even though the season repeats itself, it's still brand new. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Now, one of the things the enemy loves to do is he loves to get us in an area where we begin to look at things as routine. Now, seasons repeat themselves, don't they? So when a season comes, that automatic carnal mind thinks another routine season. Now, so if you allow the enemy to just allow, keep you in an area where you are looking at routine, then your heart is not set towards God or towards the new. Is everybody with me? You know, something that the angel of the Lord said to Daniel, he said, I have come the moment that you set your heart to understand and humble yourself, I heard your words. In other words, it wasn't something routine. Every day, the Bible says, mercies are new every morning. Every morning you get up, even though you see the same sun out there, it's a new day. See, everything is brand new for me and you. The world looks at things as a routine. If you're caught up in routines, you're caught up in the world. But every day is brand new for me and you. Every day is brand new, isn't it? I mean, it's brand new. And in this area of brand new, we cannot let it become a routine. It must be new to us. Amen? It must be new. And the only way to maintain it to be new is, first of all, do not get caught up in these false hopes. Maintain things. Set your heart to understand every day what God is trying to bring to you. If you're not looking for it, you miss it. Remember, the angel of the Lord said, the moment you set your heart to understand and humble yourself, I heard your words. So many times we're saying, Lord, and he's saying, well, you set your heart to understand, just humble yourself. Sometimes he's saying, shut up and quit your grumbling and get your eyes off of yourself and set your heart to understand me. Don't worry about anything else, anybody else, or the season. Look at me. And let your fire and zealousness for me be brand new every morning. Be new every morning. Not a routine. See, we pray every day. I hope you do. But it should be new every morning. You should make it new. You cause it to be new. See, you have the authority and the power to choose. So you choose to make it new every day. When you go to prayer, good morning, Lord, hallelujah, thanks for another day of breath. You must make it new. Because it is new. That day will never come again. Never. It's gone. Over with. Never, never, never will it come again. Never. So the only way things can become new is when they end. Is everybody with me? Is when they end. So new begins when an end comes. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14. Would you read this with me, please? Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. Now, wait a minute. He said, let there be lights. The word let there be means restore. And I'm not going to get in all that right now. But he said, let there be lights. So the subject here is lights. Light. Light is truth, isn't it? Light shines in darkness. Light exposes deception. So the key word here is lights. He said in verse 15, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And so it was. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. How many seasons are there? Hello. So he did this on the fourth day, and he introduced seasons. And in this, because these seasons, there's fourth day of four seasons, light is the foundation, a sign that divides truth from deception. It divides sight from blindness. But it is set by the Creator to draw mankind back to him by revealing his glory of creation to man every day, being brand new. It's amazing how somebody can say, well, I don't believe in a creator. I believe we came from an amoeba or something. Well, who created the amoeba? You know, I mean, well, Big Bang Theory. Well, who created the Big Bang Theory? You know, I mean, all kinds of foolishness, you know. But right there, God shows his glory. And this morning when I was outside, and I was outside praying, it was just really nice out. And you know how the Lord orchestrates things in the skies for us, you know? And I mean, it was just awesome. I could just see the glory of God everywhere. And it was just in my spirit, Lord, how can somebody deny you if they would just take the time to look up? Amen. And just be still for a moment and look at your glory and how you express yourself. And for a moment, I was like, I wanted to say, Lord, where are you? In other words, I was kind of looking for him. I didn't know if he was hiding behind a cloud or something, you know. And I was waiting for him to say something. And of course, he knows your thoughts. And he said to me, I don't have to say anything. Everything you see is speaking to you. And man, I was just, woohoo! I was gone, you know. I was like, whoa. I mean, he knows, he's got a way of melting you, you know. Praise God. But you know, everything, this moment right now, this second right now is new. It's brand new. It will never repeat itself again. Why? Because the only way something can become new is something must come to an end. That's why it's the Alpha and the Omega. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. New season. If you want to know the name of this. It's a new season. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. Is everybody there? In verse 1, let's read it together. It's right after Proverbs. Yeah. To everything there is a what? Now, wait a minute. He said everything. Everything has a season. A time for every what? Purpose under heaven. So, every season has a purpose and a time. Does everybody agree? And it says in verse 2, a time to be born and a time to what? Die. A time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. And a time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. And a time of war and a time of peace. And again, seasons carry a specific purpose of God to fulfill his will in his time. And every season for your life is an opportunity to advance into his purpose and fulfill his will. Has everybody got it? See, so many times, even though there is a purpose, it must be done in God's time. That's called a season. There is a season for everyone. There are specific seasons for me and you. And in these seasons, things come to an end to start something new. In John 12. Now, you cannot be season jumpers. That's because of a flawed belief system and a false hope. It causes anxiousness, and you try and jump to the season because there is a purpose that you know that God is trying to do, and you jump into that season, and it's a trap. Did you ever see those cartoons where the dude walks, and then there's that net, and he steps on it, and it's held by a string, and poof. And they hang there upside down and ropes around the ankles. That's what the devil does. And what he does is he causes you not to be able to be mobile. Because you are now caught into his season, which prevents the season of God to be manifested in your life. It pulls you out of time and it delays the season. And we miss it. Then sometimes we have to wait for the next season to come. Because every season has its certain recipe. Has everybody got it? And if you ever notice that when somebody gives you a recipe, it never turns out the same as the one that gave it to you. Amen? Whoa. It's like, man, you think, yeah, man, you give somebody a recipe, they're at your house, they taste it. Yeah, let me have that. Whoa, let me have that recipe. And then they make it, you go there and taste it and go, oh my God, is this what I gave you? It's just that each season is a specific recipe. And when you miss that season, you cannot regain it. Another recipe has to be made by God. And John chapter 12, is everybody there? In verse 20, let's read it together. Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. And they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and what? Dies. it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces what? Much grain. Hello. Why? Because it starts a what? A new season with its what? Death. Hello? He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life, in this world, will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him, my Father, will honor. So each season requires a level of death to self to produce the purpose and manifest the will of God. So everybody got it? So there may be seasons in your life that you're wondering, man, why is there so much stuff going on? It's to cause you to die. To come to an end so you can get in that next season. Amen? Galatians chapter 6. So I'm proud of y'all. Yeah. You're going to get in that other season because you filled the gift bag.
Amen.
Some of you were shaking. I heard your knees knocking. Oh, God, I hope he doesn't do this every Sunday. It's a new season. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 7. Would you read it with me? Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, it will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not what? Let us not grow weary. Let us not get caught up in false hopes. Let us not go astray. Let us not grow weary while what? Doing good, while being obedient. For in what? In due season, we shall reap if we do not what? Lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Listen, there are things I'm still waiting for, and I'm sure there's things you're still waiting for. Now, there are some things that we've expected to happen already, but they haven't. And there isn't a person in this park who's not had something expect to happen already that has happened yet. There are things we're still waiting for. See, but even though we had a hope that it would happen by now, we know that it's going to happen even though it didn't happen. Amen. Amen. So that doesn't mean it's a false hope. We just know because it's not God's time. Because it's got to be in that specific season. See, because when you're in this specific season, God provides for that season what needs to be done. So if he's going to give you off season, it's going to be put to something that's not for that season. Is everybody okay? So you might be waiting for finances. You might be waiting for fellowship. You might be waiting for something for God to do for you, and it's not happened yet because it's not God's time, because it's out of season. Are you listening? So in that season, God begins to release things to fulfill his purpose and his will for that season. So don't give up just because it's not happened yet. Amen. It's just not the season. Amen? So you got to get through it. No matter what, you cannot go astray. You cannot let the enemy bring false hopes to produce false fables and go astray and come get off course. You must stay on course no matter what. Amen? Glory to God. So let us obey and reap in the next season or the season that's pre- that means you and I must maintain. You know, our carnal common sense makes a lot of reasonable sense in the area where I don't understand why God's not doing this now. I really could use it. I mean, I really need this now. I mean, I'm about to be homeless. Why hasn't God provided? Because he's not providing according to the way you expect him to. He's going to provide for another way because it's going to lead you in the direct path during for that season to meet somebody, to be at a place or location where you're supposed to be in that season. Everything is a season, no matter what. See, but when that false hope comes, it comes to move you out of your season. And it becomes disastrous. Now, I don't mean it has to become in an area where it's so bad you can't handle it. But one of the things we can cause us to do is be successful in the wrong assignment. And that's what we don't want to do. Like I said, you can promote and establish your own hopes. And then you've got to become fearful because of trying to maintain it. But when it's God, you don't care if it comes or goes. You maintain to be a good steward no matter what because you know God is in control. And if it's time for that part to be done with, you know you're entering another season and he's just preparing you for it. There is no fear. There is total trust. Amen? Praise God. Go to Luke 12. So we want to keep sowing, don't we? Keep on sowing. And sowing, not just financially, but sowing of your life. So that means you got to come to another level of death to yourself. This is not a religious thing. This isn't about how many times you go to church and how many times you pray and how many times you quote the word and all the other things. This is an area of being obedient. But I can tell you what, it's impossible to be obedient if you're not disciplined and consistent. See, now, if you weren't disciplined and consistent, you would be missing the message of the Spirit here today. You know how many people are supposed to be here and didn't come? Because they haven't denied themselves. They've gone to the place of comfort, and they've gained a mistrust of God. In Luke 12 and verse 41, is everybody there? Let's read it. Then Peter said to Jesus, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of what? Food in what? Due season. See, there's a specific message that God releases for the season. It is food. It's from heaven. Manna from heaven. It's revelation. It's rhema. It's life-changing to keep us and prepare us and establish us in the season. Let's go a little further, all right? Blessed, verse 43, blessed is that what? Servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. Wow. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male or female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking. Why? Because he can't be looking. He's not set his heart to understand or humble himself. Amen. When he's not looking for him, look at that. The master of the servant will come on the day when he's not looking for him. Looking for who? The master. Amen. And at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. So this individual was a believer, wasn't he? But he went astray. Missed the season. Was hanging by the tree upside down. Stepped in the trap. And got cut in half. Hello. This is faithful steward. Faithful steward. Consistent. Disciplined. Not anxious for anything. Come on, are you listening? This is important. Why? The enemy wants to move you out of your season into his season. Now, we've had enough seasons of torment. We've had enough seasons of discouragement. We've had enough seasons of guilt and condemnation. We've had enough seasons where the enemy has stole, killed, and destroyed everything. That's his seasons. And we don't want to fall into those seasons anymore, do we? So there's the things that we're going to have to do. Be disciplined and consistent. Maintain a heart that's understanding. And make everything look to you every day as brand new. New. New, new, new. In Psalm 16, a faithful steward is steadfast, stable, unchanging. He's a servant that enters the season, and the season doesn't enter him. Come on, are you listening? He will not be moved off course. And meat is his reward, or food. It's rhema from heaven. And Psalm 16, is everybody there? In verse 7. Let's read it. Psalm 16, verse 7. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. In other words, the times when you can't see correctly. Even though you're in season, you may have a dry spell. Even though you're in season, you may have a blackout. Even though you're in season. And it's because God is trying to speak to you in another way. Come on, are you getting this? God is trying to speak to you in another way because we've become accustomed to be routine in how God needs to speak to us. And if he doesn't speak to us in that way, well, he ain't saying nothing, but he is. He's just trying to speak to you in another way. See, this is where religion will kill you because religion says he only can speak to me this way. Thus says the Lord. Hello. See, that's religion was established by Satan. Jesus came to destroy religiosity, set the captives free. He rebuked the Pharisees and Sadducees. He called them hypocrites. And God was trying to speak to them in another way, face to face. Hello. And they still couldn't see him. See, when you're in a season and you get so routine-y, God will change his way he's going to speak to you. Now, he spoke to this person at night in his heart because he had a blackout. You know, did you ever hear of those times when you feel like your prayers are bouncing off the... It's not a steel ceiling, it is concrete. And you're like, where you be? And you're looking up and he's standing right next to you. Oh. Because he's trying to speak to you in another way. Are you getting this? Because he doesn't want us to be routine. He wants us to be led. Led. Oh, glory. Verse 8. I have set the Lord what? Always before me. Because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also rests in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol or hell, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Yes. Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34. It's a new season. It's a new day. Fresh anointing. It's coming our way. Yeah. Because it's the season. Ezekiel 34, verse 20. Let's read it. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them. Behold, I myself will judge between the fat and the lean sheep. Because you have pushed with side and shoulder, butted all the weak ones with your horns, and scattered them abroad. Therefore I'll say my flock, they shall no longer be prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will what? Establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. My servant David, he shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Hello. Now, let's go a little further. I will make a covenant of peace with them and cause wild beasts to cease from the land, and they will dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. I will make them in the places all around my hill a blessing, and I will cause showers to come down on their season, and there shall be showers of blessings. Yoo-hoo! Then the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. They shall be safe in their land, and they shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bonds of their yoke and deliver them from the hand of those who enslave them. They shall no longer be prey for the nations, nor shall beasts of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and no one shall make them afraid. I will raise up for them a garden of renown, and they shall no longer be consumed with hunger in the land, nor bear the shame of the Gentiles anymore. Thus they shall know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and they, the house of Israel, are my people, says the Lord God. You are my flock, and the flock of my pasture. You are men, and I am your God, says the Lord. Oh, glory. Showers in due seasons. That's blessing. That's favor. That is favor. Has everybody got it? Favor. In Psalm 1. Everybody okay? Are you getting this? Psalm 1:1. Come on. Yeah. Let's read it together. What's the first word? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. In other words, he does not agree with the voice of the stranger, nor stands in the sin in the path of sinners, nor yoked with unrighteousness, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. In other words, he puts a guard over his tongue. He doesn't hang around with those who rebel. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Now, in this law, it means the words of God. So he's trying to hear the word of God, what God is saying to him. And it says, in his law he meditates day and night, and he shall be like a what? Tree planted by the rivers that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. In that season, there will be prosperity. So everybody got it. There will be prosperity. God's appointed time is a spiritual season. It's an opportunity. Did you ever notice those times where things, no matter, you know, you don't even have to ask for things. You think about them and they come. Whoa. And then all of a sudden, you got to ask for everything. And you're waiting for things to come, and it's not coming because it's not for that season. That season's for something else. In Proverbs 15. Is everybody there? 15:20. Let's read it together, please. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. Folly is a joy to him who is destitute of discernment, but a man of understanding walks uprightly. Without counsel, plans go away, but in the multitude of counsel, they are established. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. A word spoken in due season, how good it is. And I have a word for 2011. In 2011, the first thing that came to me was the Lord said to me, it is a gift from heaven. It is the blessing from heaven in 2011. And we will have these Tuesday night, and you can, we'll put them on the internet. You guys can download them. The plan of the enemy will increase, said the Lord, to allow a self-imposed distraction, allowing the army of God to strategically mobilize. So even though that the enemy will increase, his plan will increase, it'll have a sense to the enemy that his plan is increasing, but it's to keep him distracted. Why God mobilizes his army. As the eternal presence through my body continues to invade the temporary presence, much friction will increase and ignite the spirits of hatred, jealousy, prejudice, rebellion, and pride. And as I began to see this, I began to see God's presence ripping through and causing friction in the present presence here right now, the temporary presence. And as it was pressing through, it was like, do you ever see two rocks touch each other when somebody's trying to get a spark? It was sparking and it was causing, it was igniting. And the spirits that were popping up was the spirits of hatred and jealousy and prejudice and rebellion and pride. And the reason for this is because they were getting more and more exposed. Of course, we know religiosity is associated with these spirits. It says, this will cause my people to strengthen, stand, and stand out. How many of y'all want to stand out? Amen. So this will cause my people to strengthen, stand, and stand out. Those willing to shed garments of comfort and wineskins of compromise will receive fresh manna and presence of the Lord. Again, he calls them garments of comfort and wineskins of compromise. It's time to shed them. The sudden shift of financial opportunity will allow a release of finances into the economy, causing a restored hope to America, lasting a short period of time or a season. This release will assist in the necessary move of the Spirit to increase provision to the storehouses of God and the temporary realm. America, he said, is a storehouse of God to my nation Israel and my messengers to the world. But its keepers have allowed the thief to access the combination to her protected locks. That cannot go unpunished. For I have held my fury and my judgment for a little while longer, until my body is healthy and blessed to withstand my anger. So know that we will be here when certain things begin to happen, because we will be the storehouse of God also. This will not stop famines and earthquakes, pestilence and earthly disasters in the global arena, which is to awaken those asleep and keep alert those that are awake of the eternal things not seen. False agreements between nations will continue to appease while advancing personal agendas of greed and power. And I saw in nations beginning to agree with each other, but it was all a lie. It was like a postponement. It was an opportunity for these nations to say yes, 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 but behind closed doors, they were getting ready to promote their personal agenda of greed and power. Is everybody with me? It said Egypt will be recognized by turning her back to U.S. Egypt will be recognized by turning her back to the United States, and Israel will maintain open arms to the United States despite the persecution from Washington. Europe's disasters will increase and arms will be lifted. And when I saw that happening, what was happening was a disarming of people and violence was increasing. The government was causing its own people to become disarmed. Europe's disasters will increase and arms will be lifted. Disarming and violence. As much betrayal will be exposed, global freedoms will begin to choke, and the rise of revolution will expand. Technology will continue to increase, promoting a false hope and a destructive pride, masking evil's agenda of distraction to the truth. Greed will have no choice to those uncovered. And when he said that to me, I saw those that were not covered by the blood. Greed will have no choice. They will welcome greed. Again, greed will have no choice to those uncovered. Violently invited because the fear of survival and self-preservation. Yet during all this, the ocean waves will begin to roll in the hidden warriors that have been tossed and tested in the storms of life and tribulations of the enemy. And this started because when we were in the Garden Gate, and I don't know if some of you heard about this already, but we were at the Garden Gate and just praising and worshiping the Lord, and it was a prophetic time, and the Spirit came upon me, and I saw a vision. And I gave the word, and I knew it was for 2011 in this area. And I saw the ocean and the waves of the ocean rolling strong. And in the waves, I began to see, I saw people rolling in each wave. And I'm like looking at this. And once they were beached, they stood upright. And they were dry. And in this, I wrote, once beached, on dry land, they are upright, dry, alert, armed, and ready to battle, grabbing each other's hand as a symbol of unity, which is the key for 2011. And in this, I see the body of Christ coming more together. And it didn't matter what denominations or what was, those were people that are being rolled, tossed, and tested in the waves of life and the tribulations of the enemy. And once they were beached, they stood up straight. And they were armed, alert, and ready, and they grabbed one another's hand. And they were going like two by two, ready to go, whatever God wanted them to do. And in that, he gave me Psalm 133, and I gladly read it to you. So 2011 is a gift from heaven. Is everybody okay? Amen. And Psalm 133. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. 2011 will be a gift from heaven. Can't tell you about 2012. And one of the things that kept coming to me is when Joseph, he had to go through all kinds of stuff in prison. And he ended up right where God wanted him. And he became Egypt's second right-hand man. And the purpose of that was to set storehouses. Storehouses for God's children. Provision. And I believe that this year is the setting of the storehouses in a big time. And blessing to the body of Christ. And preparation for what is to come. Amen. So continue to sow. Maintain stability. Maintain discipline. Be consistent. Don't look back. And don't be led by the voice of false hope. But let the season not move you. But you walk in the season according to the will of God and His purpose. Let nothing move you, no matter what's going on. Be anxious for nothing. When there's anxious there, you know the enemy's trying to get you out of your season. And he'll get you in his season. And we've had enough of his seasons. Amen? This is our year. This is our season. Let's give God all the glory, honor, and praise. Amen? Hallelujah!